It's the Charlie McCarthy Show. This is Ken Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, greeting you on behalf of Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Anita Gordon, Pat Patrick, Mortimer Snerd, and our two special guests for this Sunday, the lovely Ann Baxter and Keenan Wynn, one of the stars soon to be seen in Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's Weekend at the Waldorf. And here's Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy.
Gee, Bergen, isn't it exciting about us going to New York?
It certainly is, Charlie. Now, I've just about finished packing my bags. You see, all I need is my comb and brush, and I'll be ready.
You're ready now, Valley.
Yeah. Oh, and I mustn't forget to pick up my tickets at the station.
Well, Edgar, if you're looking for tickets, I'm your man.
Well, you are.
Keenan, you mean you're a Pullman peddler?
Yeah, I'm taking my brother's place at the Union Station.
Yeah. Well, what in the world are you doing that for, Keenan?
I like to meet people. I like the excitement. I like to pick up a few extra bucks.
Yeah.
Say, Charlie, how would you like to work with me?
Yeah. No. Get away, bud. No.
Pleasant work.
No. Get going.
Ann Baxter is helping me.
No. Get my hat. What are we waiting for, then?
Charlie, shh.
What's the matter?
Charlie, here comes your little girlfriend, Anita Gordon.
Oh, Charlie, is it true that you're going to New York?
Yes, it is, Anita.
But you're not going to leave me, are you?
Me leave you? Silly girl.
I don't understand.
Well, I'll explain. You see, what Charlie means is that you are going with us.
I am?
Yes.
Oh, Charlie, come here.
Please, not in front of all these people.
Oh, just imagine New York.
Yeah.
I'm so happy I could sing.
Well, go right ahead and sing, Anita.
She was kind of distant in a charming way. He was so persistent, it began one day in the middle of May. He met a gal named June, took her off in July, and meets an August moon. And all through step, he kept admiring her charm. And all through up, they were locked in each other's arms. From November to Jan, the runaround began. February and March, he was a worried man. It was until April that she said okay, and they were married in the middle of May. From November to Jan, the runaround began. February and March, he was a worried man. It wasn't until April that she said okay, and they were married in the middle of May.
I want to say how nice you look today.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you.
You look so well groomed. You look so, shall we say, prosperous. Yeah.
Yes. Well, I believe I do have an air of distinction. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute, Charlie.
Yeah?
No. You're not after anything, are you?
Well, for example, money?
Well, it's strange that you should mention that.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I am in an embarrassing position. For the mole.
Yeah.
You see, I got caught with my finances down.
Yes, I see. Well, that's very interesting, but why bother to tell me about it?
Well, I just thought that you might leave me the lend of a mild loan. I thought that.
You thought?
Yes. I thought. Dreamer that I am.
Yes, I see so. So you're over the barrel again, are you,
Mr. Bergen? This time I'm wearing it.
I see. Well, young man, instead of hounding me, why don't you borrow a little from your piggy bank?
Because that little piggy has none.
Oh, I see. None?
Not a sow.
I see.
Yes.
Well, then you should earn some money. After all, don't you think that you're old enough to go to work?
I suppose you know that I could ask you the same question. That burns him up, that one.
Charlie, you should make a practice of saving 20% of your allowance each week.
I don't make that much.
Oh, yes. Perhaps I can illustrate my point a little better by telling you the story of an Aesop fable.
Oh, must we do it the hard way?
All right. It's the fable, of course, of the grasshopper and the ant.
Uh-huh.
Now tell me, what do you know about the habits of the ant?
Well, frankly, not much. No. I haven't been in touch with the underground lately.
I Well, this particular ant that I'm speaking of was very industrious. He worked hard all the time.
I hate him already.
Oh, no. You see, ants never waste a minute.
Oh, no?
No.
Well, then how about all the time they spend at picnics?
Well, that's... No.
All right.
Well, what I'm trying to point out is that all summer long, this ant gathered food.
He did.
Yes. And he hid it away for the future.
Well, the little sneak, that's hoarding. All right.
The grasshopper just took it easy, chirping and hopping around all summer.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, I'll string along with the grasshopper. He's got personality. I like him. Besides, he can spit tobacco juice. Ding!
Oh. Not only did the grasshopper loaf all the time, but he made fun of the ant for working.
Yeah?
Yes. And so the ant said one day, beware! Beware!
I wouldn't do that, Bergen. All right. Don't strain our voice.
All right. Well, the ant said to the grasshopper, and I like this part of it.
Well, I'm glad there's something good about it.
Yes. Beware. Beware, winter. Winter will come. Winter will come, and you'll be sorry. You'll be sorry that you didn't prepare. I have spoken.
Ladies and gentlemen, you see before you the remains of a frustrated actor.
All right. And true enough, winter came.
It always does. Always.
Then it was a different story.
And high time, too.
Yes.
I was getting pretty sick of this one. All right.
No covered the ground. And the grasshopper was without food. And, of course, being without food, he had nothing to eat.
No. Egad, what facts?
Yes.
There's a sloppy hunk of logic, if I can.
There wasn't a leaf. There wasn't a blade of grass to eat. Nothing for this poor grasshopper.
Well, couldn't we drop him something by parachute?
You see, the ant. Ants refused him food, and, of course, he was starving.
Oh, no. You can't help it.
Yes. Slowly starving.
Isn't there a crust of bread in the house or something?
It was the grasshopper's own fault. You shouldn't feel sorry for him.
Well, I can't help it. We were getting to be such good friends. The little chiseler.
All right. Now, Charlie, I hope that you will be wiser than the grasshopper in the future. This fable teaches us a lesson.
It do?
Yes. And the lesson is this. The ants work hard, persevere, and save. And as a reward...
Somebody steps on him.
No, no, no.
Well, DDT gets him.
No, no. See, I'd like to buy some magazines to read on the train. Well, if it isn't Mortimer Snurd.
Yep, that's right. Hello, Mr. Bergen.
Well, you mean to say that you're running this magazine, Sam?
Yep, that's right.
Well, you're quite an enterprising young man.
Yep.
That's good work.
Yep. I got something in my head besides brains, all right.
Yeah, you have. Well, I'm glad to do business with you. Now, let me see, what would I like to get to read? What have you got here?
Well, we've got Good Housebreaking Magazine.
No.
You want Reader's Indigestion?
No.
It's the September issue.
The what?
September issue.
September?
Yeah. September.
Oh, yeah, September.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That's the name of quite a well-known month.
Yes, I know.
What do you want?
Well, I'd like something to read on the train.
Well, we'll see you. Well, what train are you going on?
Well, the chief.
Hmm. How about some Indian stories?
Oh, no.
That's pretty good, wasn't it?
You know, you amuse me, Mortimer.
Yes,
after all, there's only one Mortimer Snurd.
Yep. Pretty scarce, I guess.
Yes, I think you're right.
I got a detective story.
You have? Is it good?
Well, yeah, you like it. Mm-hmm.
You've read it?
Yeah, I'm almost up to the beginning now.
I see. Uh-huh. Well, I'll tell you. I'll take this one, and I'll take this one over here.
Mm-hmm.
And here's my money.
Okay, Mr. Bergen. Here's your change.
Now, wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you didn't give me the right change.
Well, I'm sorry.
Listen.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Bergen. I can't correct mistakes after you leave the window.
Well, you gave me a quarter too much.
No, I'm sorry. Too bad. Learn you to be more careful next time.
Mortimer, how can you be so stupid?
Well, it ain't something you get out of books.
No.
Charlie's little protege, Anita Gordon, singing, I'll Buy That Dream.
Imagine me with my head on your shoulder, and you with your lips getting bolder, a sky full of moon and a sweet mellow tune. I'll buy that dream. Imagine me in a gown white and flowery, and you thanking Dad for my dowry. A church full of folks and those last minute jokes. I'll buy that dream. A honeymoon in Cairo, a brand new auto gyro, then home by rocket in a wing. We'll settle down near Dallas in a little plastic palace. It's not as crazy as you think. Imagine me on a our first anniversary with someone like you in the nursery. It doesn't sound bad, and if it can be had, I'll buy that dream. Imagine me anniversary with someone like you in the nursery. It doesn't sound bad, and if it can be
on track 6 for Noodles, Arizona, Freewheeling, West Virginia, Dearborn and Claiborne, and that one on the rotten egg.
Say, Charlie, where are you?
Oh, yes, here I am, Mr. Wynn.
Say, be a good little fellow and run out and buy me another bottle of spring tonic.
Yeah. Ain't it kind of late in the season for that?
Well, I just gotta have my spring tonic.
Okay, but look out for an early fall over there. Keenan, why do you take that stuff?
From my dizzy spells.
Oh, how often do you have the dizzy spells?
Every time I take it.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
I'm the new stenographer.
Oh, you're the new, well, open my throttle. Woo-hoo-hoo!
Why, Charlie, you remember me.
Oh, sure. Now that I see your face, yes. It's Ann Baxter. So you're the new stenographer, huh? Well, here, take a letter. Or better still, take a kiss.
Take it easy.
Oh, now, don't let Charlie worry you, my dear. I happen to be your B-O-S-S boss.
Oh, now I am worried.
Oh, you're a clever girl. Say, by the way, Miss Baxter, I forgot to ask. What are your qualifications?
Yeah. Are you blind? Or are you?
Say, how many words can you type a minute?
I type 20, at any rate 15.
That's good. How's your spelling?
Unusual.
Uh-huh. Well, take a letter. My dear. Now read that back.
My dear.
Yes, honey.
Charlie, I've always wanted to work for a railroad.
And you belong here, too. That's what you do. Your eyes glisten like shining rails. And your cheeks are as red as 2 boxcars.
Oh, what track do I leave on?
Train now leaving on track 5 for Omaha, Toronto, Mexico City, and New York.
My, that seems like a long way around to get to New York.
That's what I keep telling them, but they won't listen.
Gentlemen, I want to buy a ticket to New York.
What address? Oh, he wants to buy a ticket to New York.
Well, I've got to have a ticket. See, my name is Edgar Bergen.
Listen, buddy, all people have names. So you've got to take your turn just like nobody else.
Bergen, I'll let you have an extra special rate on a New York ticket.
Well, now, that's nice of you, Charlie. You mean I can ride for half fare?
Yeah, if you don't mind walking from Omaha.
Well,
would you get me a ribbon for my typewriter, Charlie?
Well, of course, my dear.
I say, I beg your pardon, but might I come in and browse through your reservations?
Why, certainly, sir.
Just a minute. I believe I was here first.
Stop interrupting, buddy. Get back in line.
I don't think you know anything about selling tickets. Anyone who deals with you is a fool.
And the customer is always right.
I say, young lady, I'd like to purchase a return ticket.
A return ticket to where?
Where did you come from?
Well, you must know that the stork brought me.
Well, we have a special today. $10 to Walla Walla.
Oh, well, I only have $5, so just give me a ticket to Walla.
Miss Baxter, please, now, don't you really think that I've waited long enough?
But what is this? A proposal?
No, it's about the ticket.
Okay, I'm back with the ribbon.
Oh, thank you, Charlie.
Please, somebody, what do you have around here in the shape of a Pullman ticket?
Well, we got an old beer check.
No.
Say, are you back again?
Yeah, well, I...
No, stop holding up the line. Don't you know there's a war over?
Yeah.
Come on. Get back.
I say, about that train for Walla, what seats have you?
Well, how about two on the aisle for Monday night?
Look, let me handle this, Charles.
Yeah.
Now, I can give you a room with hot and cold water.
Is it a bedroom?
No, but it's the next thing to it.
I say, tell me this, would you? Does the engine smoke a lot?
Yes, and it also chews.
Well, I don't want to complain, but you know, the last time I traveled, the train was 5 hours late.
Oh, you think that's bad? These days, you're lucky if it's facing the right way. All aboard!
Oh, I say, is that my train pulling out?
Well, if it ain't, the station is backing up.
Now, about my ticket to New York.
Oh, look, that's the 17th ticket you've got.
I've been...
It's people like you that make people like you hate people like you.
Yeah, but I haven't bought a ticket here yet.
Oh, so you've been taking them while my back is turned.
No, I've
been... Police! Officer!
Wait a minute, I insist...
Break it up. What's all the commotion about?
Officer, apprehend this chap.
So academic here.
But I haven't done anything, officer. I've just been standing around here all day.
Oh-ho! A vagrant, eh? You come along with me.
Yeah, but you can't arrest me. You see, I've got to go to New York tomorrow.
Well, we got a little different tour arranged for you. Yeah. San Fernando, San Jose, and San Quentin.
Charlie, aren't you going to say something?
Sure, Durgan. Don't forget to write.
Oh.
I miss the rose my mother made when she was able. The fragrant bonfires in the fall. I'm homesick.
I'm here today.
Yes.
Yes, I'm here today, and I'm sorry. Well, no, I'm not exactly sorry either, but I beg your pardon.
Yes, yes.
Well, I don't either really beg your pardon because I haven't done anything yet.
Well, you came in, didn't you?
pardon me, but just who are you?
Well, my name is Ursel Twing. Yes, Ursel Twing, and I'm and I'm Fred Allen's West Coast representative.
Fred Allen?
Yes, Fred Allen. And I think I have a peaky idea.
Peaky.
I understand you're going to New York.
Yes, we are. Yes, yes.
Oh, that's peaky.
Yeah. And what's that got to do with Mr. Allen, though?
Well, I could arrange for him to do a guest appearance on your show. You must admit he has an extremely comical man.
Oh, must we? Well, why wasn't he on the air last year, then?
Oh, last year?
Yes.
Oh, well, Mr. Allen has just scabs, and, well, no, he doesn't exactly have scabs either, but... Well, yes, he does, too. Yeah.
Make up your mind.
Yes, he has scabs.
Yes.
And he doesn't have to work.
Uh-huh. No, if they don't give him a job, he doesn't. No.
Well, just what does Mr. Allen do?
Yeah,
what does he do?
Yes.
Why, he juggles and he does funny witticism.
Say, not so.
Yeah, and that isn't all. He talks through his nose.
Without moving his nostrils? All right. That's my man.
Yeah. Now, how much would it cost to have Fred Allen on our show next week?
How much would it cost not to have him on?
No, Charlie, I think we should be fair about this. Let's invite Fred Allen to be on our show next Sunday.
Yeah.
And because he has so much money, let's not embarrass him by offering him any salary.
That's good, yeah.
Now, you wouldn't want to embarrass Mr. Allen, would you, Mr. Twing?
Embarrass him?
Yes.
Oh, no.
Oh, good. He's on our show next week. It's all set.
Oh, he is?
Yes.
Oh, goody gumdrop.
Yes.
May I get it?
Yes, please.
Oh, thank you. Hello? Oh, yes, Mr. Allen.
Uh-oh.
You do? I did. I am. Oh, well. Bye.
Well.
Mr. Bergen, could you use a West Coast representative? I've always thought you were the funniest man on the radio.
Oh, is that so?
Yes.
The worm has turned.
And it looks just as bad from both ends.
Oh, that's very funny, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes, very funny. Ever since I came in here, you've had your laugh, and you've tormented me with your slurs and your jibes and your innuendo.
Oh, I didn't innuendo. I didn't.
Oh, yes, you did, too, innuendo, and it's very clever. And I want you to know I've got a good mat on right now. And before you get me into a tizzy, I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye.
And have as our guest, Fred Allen. We'll be coming to you from New York's Radio City. Radio Service.